Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews. This is Dr. John. We are going to talk about the aftermath, the wonderful experience that we had at the Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame. It was the most fun I think that I have ever had. It was a blast. And I'd like to turn it over to the one and only Amazing Velvet to tell us all about it, and I'll be sticking my nose in it just a little bit. Velvet, how are you doing tonight?
Oh man, I'm great. It was a long weekend, but well worth it. It was a blast. I mean, I'm sorry, Todd, you missed it. Todd, how are you doing from Indy?
I'm good. It's all good, brother. Oh, I'll skip the normal intro. Run with it.
Yeah, man. And then, of course, our super fan, Malcolm Wildman. Man, Malcolm, did you have a good time or what, bro?
I missed doing that. You know, I told people that I'm not going to do some big traveling, but I'm going to do some local shows here, and I met a lot of nice people yesterday. And one guy in particular, him and his mom, he represented a NASCAR driver that had passed away, and he was raising money for a 5K run to help kids, you know, that are less fortunate, kids that keep them off the streets and out of trouble. And I donated $20 and I even gave him my phone number, and he said, you know, Dave, he told me, I was telling him about the trouble with my car, and he said, well, maybe I can help you, you know, strip it and everything. I can talk to some people for you, so. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, LA Tank
awesome.
Was so nice. You know, having dinner with you guys Friday night, you know, at that restaurant we were at, and the food there was excellent. I wanted to go back there on Saturday last night for their spare ribs, but I had to settle for Captain D's.
Hey, it's all right, man. Hey. Listen, they're only open Wednesday through Saturday, and I'll make sure you get to go again. So, yeah,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, I want the ribs. I mean,
yeah,
she served me a delicious dinner, I mean, Friday night.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
The cheese, Philly cheesesteak that Adam bought me yesterday was delicious, too. I mean, the people that cooked there at the Holy City Brewery, is that the name of it?
Yeah.
I mean, I just... You know, the food there, and then the guy, Nick, that was serving the beverages, he gave me a free refill. I didn't expect that, and I paid like $5 for two Coca-Colas, or no, a sweet iced tea for that wrestler's little, his wife's little baby girl, you know, because she needed something to drink,
yeah.
And then I got a Coke, and then I came back for another Coke, and the guy gave me two refills. He says, hey, it's on the house. I was like, that was so nice of them to do that, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Dave,
awesome.
You going out to
yeah.
your, you know, you taking your speech, you know, and you guys put on a show, that guy that was your tag team partner, and you had the purple pants and the white T-shirts with all the paraphernalia on it, you know. And
yeah,
Dr.
Man.
John helping you out, you know. You know, helping set things up. I mean, I just felt like myself again, like when I was a soldier back in the Army, you know, being a team player again. And to me, that's what it was all about. And Papa Stroh, man, Papa Stroh, when he got up there and he even mentioned my name, I didn't even see that coming. It's like, you know, I just
that's
have
awesome.
So much respect for that guy. And Susan Green and Judy Martin and that lady, I didn't even know she was sitting next to Susan Green. The lady in the green, Tony
Rose.
She's a professional wrestler, and she was so nice. I mean, everybody there was nice. I just have respect. The guys that sold me the vendors that were there, the guys that sold me the three DVDs for $10, I mean, thank you guys so much. I've been looking for that DVD, a John Cena and CM Punk Money in the Bank 2011 for ages. And then he sold me the Royal Rumble and No Way Out, Hollywood Hulk Hogan against The Rock,
nice.
Twin pack. Oh, three, and they're brand new. They are brand new.
I know.
Never been
That's
used.
Awesome, isn't it?
I mean, tell those guys
That's
thank
awesome.
You so much. They made a dream come true. a little Hulkamania,
yes, sir.
A little you can't see me, John Cena. I'm a happy camper, man.
Yeah.
Well,
Susie,
let's say,
what's happening,
and by the way,
Susan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we,
go ahead, y'all.
And
yeah,
we,
I'm here.
The queen of wrestling, Susan Green, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing good. I'm just running 2 minutes late, but I was trying my best.
You're fine. You're fine.
We're just so glad.
When you got
three
cats and they're all looking at you, you got to make sure the medicine gets given.
Yeah, right? You got to keep it
right.
On, baby.
Yep.
I'm just
and is that Sinister with us?
Oh, Sinister,
yeah.
What's up, buddy? Hello. Well,
I heard him.
No, that's not Sinister. That's me.
Who's me?
No, Reginald is here.
Oh, Reggie.
No,
Reggie.
Not
there we go.
I snuck in there. I was listening to I was listening to the story. So I was trying to be quiet there for a minute.
Yeah,
a
but
good,
you know
Reggie.
Super fan.
I'm not good at staying quiet, you know.
You're not used to being quiet for real. You're right about that.
At one time,
you know,
you were good at running into Coke machines.
Oh, that's me. And him. Yeah, he had a fucking.
First time he ran into a Coke machine.
Yep. Right.
Reggie, you got to cut me off sometime.
what's that? Take him out.
He said you got to cut him off sometime.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, when I got
velvet,
I could throw him a little
out.
Bit
I was
easier.
Like, I don't.
Right.
Like, I don't know if he wants to go out with me or not.
No. I asked you if I could make a speech, and you said no. And I said, you got to cut me off sometime, Reggie.
Well, it went long enough as it was.
Well, guys, I really thought that I was going to go up there and accept my award, and we were going to have another guy go up there, and then I was just going to go up there.
Right.
And make the
announcement
for Tony just all. And when I didn't get called back up, I thought, well, I just need to walk up there and do it. And then things got started, and then you're saying goodbye, Velvet. And I thought, oh, no, we can't goodbye.
Yeah, I totally forgot. I was tired.
No, it got
head was burnt.
It got confusing.
Yeah.
There at the end.
But I didn't want
her
to go back to back.
Right. I had her name down, but I thought we were doing her last. That's what I had on my sheet.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
okay.
I just didn't
want
the girls. Yeah, we made it happen. We didn't. I just didn't want the girls to go or the women to go back to back. You know that we do that. For
right,
right.
And it just kind of make a difference, change it around.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Well, Susan, it was good to see you and Tony and Judy. And Judy showing up was a wonderful surprise for me because I haven't seen her in a long time. And just for my part, you know, and I don't want to interrupt and run over anybody else, but just I had a blast. And my
Tony did too. We talked all the way back.
My friend Michael can't stop talking about it. He was texting me up until 30 minutes ago. And I was watching Backlash, and I don't know if anybody knows, but the zombies completely took me out of the show, so I just stopped watching completely.
Yeah.
If anybody knows what I'm talking about.
I saw it. I went, what the heck? Go ahead.
Tony sat there and said, I can't trust you anymore. And I said, for what? She said, for anything. And I said, well, I kind of told you you were in the Hall of Fame. She said, kind of told me. Yeah, he said, I was kind of told. Yeah, I accept kind of told. And I said, well, what was I supposed to do? And she said, you should have told me the Lifetime Award. And I said, well, what was I supposed to do? And she sat there and said, well, you could have told me. And I said, what was I supposed to tell you? You were standing up there, and I just sat there and said, oh, I forgot. You know, she said, well, you don't need to forget nothing anymore. And I said, well, I'll try. I said, remember, I've been hitting the head.
Right.
So I blamed it on my hits on the head.
There you go.
She was very, very, she's very, very excited and thought more that, you know, everybody has forgot her. but nobody remembers her. And I said, you know, Tony, I go out there. I've never stopped marketing myself, you know, and I'm getting you around going with me. And so you're marketing. And she said, I'm never getting that ring. And I said, I didn't say you had to get in the ring. You just make appearances in the show, you know.
Right.
I said, like I said, 52 years later, I may be getting out of the ring, you know, if the good Lord lets me live that long. But to me, it's easier to train or it's easier to wrestle and have a match than it is to train somebody.
Oh,
yeah. You know, and Tony says, what?
I said, to train some of the people I've been around.
Oh, yeah. I said, you take 40 bumps to show them how to take a back bump, and then they finally get it, and you're sitting there going, I did 40 for them to do one.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, okay.
And they're done that.
Something wrong with that picture.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
but all in all, we have to hang on a second, Susie. For all in all, for the whole Hall of Fame, we have to thank Holy City Brewing Company. They did a fantastic job. Sarah is an amazing, amazing manager. Those people are lucky to have her. The three owners are lucky to have her running that outfit for them while they brew and whatever else they're doing and building that new facility. She is an amazing, amazing woman, and can't say nothing more or bad about her, but we had to say, you know, thank you, and we will be back because, you know, we got some other shows lined up for them, so it's going to be awesome, and then just, you know, she was super sweet. Her staff was
really
very nice. They knew what was happening. They knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, you had all kind of stuff going on at one time, but they handled it superbly.
Oh, yeah.
No
yeah.
problem.
The next time we have Tony show up with me, we'll just say that we have Tony coming with me, you know, that she gets on a poster to say she's going to be there to have pictures for sale and stuff because other places we went, they're saying, who's this? And I say Tony Rose, and it's, you know, it's the name kind of strikes the bell, but if she was on the poster, it would, making a personal appearance, it would make her stand out a little more.
We can do that. That's not a problem. That's not a problem.
The face
and
the
food
the
was
short hair, it she still looks like herself, you know, other than the short hair. So
She looks. So
put the long hair on, and we're all right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. And I said I finally cut mine short.
What was amazing was she still had that belt, and that belt is old.
Oh man, I'm glad I got a picture of that.
That is a treasure. That belt is a treasure. She better never give that away. She better never sell that.
No. That belt will probably come to me whenever it's over and done with. It's a belt that Mula had made that gave to Donna and Tony after she stopped wrestling and started going to WWE. And she gave it to her because she had her belt made. So when Sam Mushnick, because they had no female wrestling champions for tag team, you know, it was Mula's belt and Mula got all the shots and all that. So everybody would say it was NWA, but it was actually, there's no NWA on that belt anywhere whatsoever.
Nope.
And if
nope.
you look at the tag team, you'll see that for the men wise, you'll see it says NWA men's tag team and all.
Right.
And Peggy Patterson and I actually hold the Gulf Coast women's tag team championship, and we went undefeated until they closed. We won it in, I think, 80, and we went undefeated until they shut down. And then we had the Gulf Coast women's tag team, you know, which kind of blew us away because we ran out with the belts.
That's funny.
I'm glad Susan brought her Hall of Fame belt because I almost brought the Texas championship up there for her to – you know, to put on her table, not to sell, but just to hang on to. I mean, she is Tex, right?
Yeah, she's from Texas. That's right. And she's Tex.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
And by the way, somebody, for those of y'all who don't know, old Crowbar we're talking to right there. I said, smile, lady, on this picture. And I said, well, just stand up and be like a man. And she popped the crap out of me. I was like, wait a minute, that was a compliment. She goes, do it again. She says, say that again. I'm good. That's a reminder.
Yeah, I've got to dig out to find the belt from Joe Blanchard because I was the Southwest Texas Women's Undefeated Champion.
Whenever he started,
I'll have to find it and dig it out and start bringing it with me.
Cool. Heck yeah. You know,
but I'm like y'all sitting there saying how little we were. We were little. You know.
Y'all were little, but you were the tallest of all the female wrestlers of your time period because all of them were 5 foot tall. And here you are, 6 foot.
But we had 26 inch waist.
True.
and we didn't get no wib out to get that little waist.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Y'all did it the hard way. I get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but
Tony had his last band there, and it was nice to see Judy and all, but it was like, and Malachi, whenever he showed up and, you know, being a deputy and all, but he's wanting to get back in it, but he don't know if the sheriff's going to let him.
They're probably not. And you know what? If I was him, stick to what you're doing. He's got a career. Don't mess that up because, I mean, I want to get back in the ring as well. And you know what? If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
I've come to terms with that since 17, so, I mean.
Well, you know, Sheriff Metz lets me do it whenever I was working for Sheriff Metz. And like I told Malachi, I said, it made it tough. It made it really tough. And I said, after getting jumped on for the third time, I sit there and I said, then they said, we have to see if this is a good shoot or a bad shoot. And I said, look at Major Davis Carr. It looks like Bonnie and Clyde. And I said, that guy was shooting AR-15 at us, and we're shooting 38. You know, it's like, we were guns, you know, we were equally, you know. And I sat there and said, you know, finally when I hit him in the kneecap and took the kneecap out from under him, he threw his gun over and we got him. But then I had to be on administrative leave for another 5 days because my gun hit him and Major Davis.
Right.
You know, you got him. And I said, now when I see this guy walking around stiff-legged, I know I'm the one to cut him. Took his kneecap out.
Cut him out.
After all that, I decided it might be better that I go back to something else because that's getting a little hairy.
Right.
You know, they're not giving us the guns to be able to power the big boys. And I sit there and said, I sure don't want to be shooting a BB gun at somebody with AR.
Right.
Nope.
And I said, that 38 was about a BB gun against the AR-15.
AR-15, exactly. Well, you know what? There's no rules. You know, people think, oh, well, there's rules in a gunfight. No, there's not. Having the biggest gun usually wins.
Usually. Whoever gets it out and puts their finger on that trigger and starts letting them fly.
Right, exactly.
He's the winner.
Right. Well, that's
or the other person
crazy.
That runs.
I figure the person with the best aim would be the winner.
Go.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We got off topic, but that's fun.
It's the day after the Hall of Fame.
I know. It's the aftermath. The aftermath. I'm going to tell you right now, it was a beautiful day. It got a little warm, but it's okay. It was still a beautiful day. Everybody had a good time. Good to see Crazy Train, Mama Stroh, Tank. Tony, you know, I had wished Tommy Feathers and Michael Devine were able to be there, but we are creating a DVD, and when Adam edits it, he's going to add in their spots, they're going to have a video of their Michael Devine and Tommy Feathers, a video of them accepting their award, so it's going to be good. So we're adding that.
Who was the guy in the race car?
Ask Dr. John.
Kevin and
that is my buddy. Oh gosh,
Kevin.
sorry, lost my mind here. He's from Charleston. He is a huge race car fan. Just a great guy, and he'll be around with us every time we do it down there.
He also runs.
He's a great guy. He brought his mom, and he is just one of the best guys I've ever met. And also, I want to mention that we are looking at November 6th. Now, please put that on your calendar. We're looking at November 6th for our next event there, and it's going to be a blast. I promise you.
Okay.
Okey-dokey.
Well, I will tell you this now. Tony is being inducted to the Wild Boys October the 15th in Augusta.
Nice.
So we can't
all
change.
Right. Oh, wow. No, you're fine. That's awesome.
Her there the 15th, which is going to be really surprising because I'm going to start the speech to give there, and then Ricky Steamboat's going to come out and hand it to her.
Awesome. Nice.
Oh, Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah. God.
That sounds like a road trip, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be amazing because I'm going to sit there and say, I've got somebody here that I think you're going to remember. You know, we work for his father, and Ricky will bring out the award, giving her the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome. Where is Ricky Steamboat living these days?
Yeah. Not Micah Steamboat. Sorry.
Bring his son up there with him.
Right? All right, no, go ahead.
Where is Ricky Steamboat living? Really, I mean, if he's living in the Carolinas, we need to get him down here for October, for November the 6th.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And I think he's in Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
I know he was at the gathering a few years ago.
Yeah, but you got to make sure that he's not still affiliated with WWE, because if he is, he ain't going to be able to do anything.
Right.
He's only going to be able to do certain things.
Well, we'll see, but... Or maybe he can just at least show up, because Ricky Steamboat is somebody that I personally
watch every week. Yeah.
Just what a great wrestler. Just like Susan Green. I'm telling you, we are so lucky to have the best down here. And that's all I've got to say.
All right.
Hey, Dr.
Cool.
John. Dr. John, I was at the CAC in 2012, and Steve Austin was getting the Iron Man Award that night, and Steamboat came over to my banquet table, and he says, Malcolm, have you met Steve Austin yet? I said, no, and he says, I'll take care of it for you. So he went over to the bar, and him and Steve are looking over at me at the table. Man, Steve, I'm going to say this about Ricky Steamboat. Every time I've met him, he's not only a great wrestler, a great champion. He is one of the nicest guys in the world, and he loves his fans. I'm telling you guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Great.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
So,
by the way, I just got the email from Cauliflower Alley. In case everyone doesn't know, we're looking at the 15th of September. Be sure to get your tickets to the banquet. Because they say if you don't get them on the 1st of June, they're going to be gone. So
they're opening up all the rooms on the 1st of June as well.
I'm a lifetime member.
Please be with us.
They're opening up the hotel rooms on the 1st as well. And if you don't get them, you're going to be out.
That's right.
So, yeah. Awesome. That's something to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know if I go to Vegas, it might turn out like The Hangover.
I really don't want to go back to Las
Vegas. If I go
Vegas,
to Vegas, I might not come back. I'm getting stuck there. You know, hey, listen, I might have to go back to my my old profession. You know, I might have to buy a new set of knee pads. Hey, $600 an hour, baby.
I lived there for almost 10 years. I still know where everything is. So.
Velvet will
yes,
have
Todd.
Less than zero moments here, if you know the movie reference.
You're stupid. Thanks a lot, buddy. Great. Oh, my God. But if Susan and I show up, there goes the neighborhood. I'll tell you that now.
Have y'all ever walked the strip?
I have never been to Vegas, so I can't.
You've never been? Okay,
nope.
So here's what we're going to do. There's a lot of guys that walk around and they have the escort cards and they just pass them out to everybody. So we'll put Velvet on one of the cards with his number.
Right.
And then if we blow all our money in the casino, Velvet can get us our money
Velvet.
To get us our money back to get
right.
home.
I get the money back.
We're gonna pimp you out.
The casino.
I hear you, bro.
It's in the Gold Coast. The casino's on the first floor, and then all the way towards the back as you walk in, there's a escalator takes you up to the second floor, and that's where the banquet room, the autograph rooms are. Autograph room is going to be on your left, and on the opposite side on the right it's going to be the banquet room.
Where this hotel is, I think it's in the old part of Vegas and not in the main strip is.
Yeah.
No, it's on
around Fremont,
Road.
Yeah.
It's on Flamingo Road.
So.
It's on the west side of the 15. It's about 2 or 3 blocks down on Flamingo Road.
Okay.
All and right. As you come over the overpass, it's going to be on your right-hand side. After
See,
the first one.
There, so he knows.
Now there's quite a bit of distance between Old Vegas and the Strip.
Oh,
because Malachi
right,
and
exactly.
I walked it.
Oh, good Lord!
We were regretting that. We took the bus back.
Right, I don't blame you. Oh, my buddy Bubba.
It's quite a walk.
They said, they did the same thing. And said our hotel's right there. We can just walk there. Turned out it was very long. And they finally got a cab and said, "Please take us to our hotel."
Yeah, it's several miles at least.
When big signs sticking up in the air makes it look closer.
Right. And
right.
That's what they said. They'd never do that again.
Yeah, the
try to make it look like it's right next door, and it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
The Gold Coast Hotel is really high, so don't walk outside or go on drop down.
Oh, wow. Crazy. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and they have underground parking. In two different areas. And
well, I don't think we'll be parking stores. Anything if we go.
We'll get Velvet in Vegas and see. They'll think he's party one of the shows. We'll never get him back.
Right.
if he puts his costume on.
Right. It'll be Tesseract 3. Sister Act 3, out of the habit.
Sister Act 3, hey, it's me.
that's
where we'll lose him at the Tropicana or the Rio.
And you guys are laughing. And you got to see Rich Little. I saw his show 4 times, and Rich's manager asked me, not to get enthusiastic. Because Rich said, I know his show better than he does, and it makes him nervous.
Oh, wow.
So I had to see it.
That's funny.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Funny. Oh, my gosh. So we fell down another rabbit hole, Todd. It's your fault. And we can't say the same thing.
I was trying to leave it alone. It was, when you did the Sister Act 3, all I could think of is True Confessions.
Oh, see, I can't get your break. Good Lord. That's all right. Somebody posted a picture of me. He said I look like Don Rickles. He's still alive.
I saw that. I was
whatever. It's funny. We had it.
Did
we
Don dress up in drag?
No. Yeah.
Hey, remember
she was,
Dave, when,
I keyed,
when
I keyed.
You're there?
I got you.
Oh, go ahead.
No, he said he was keyed.
Yeah. Dave, when you're there, it's September, so they might be playing, the Raiders might be playing, so if they lose a game, get off the street.
You're funny. You're silly, dude.
Are they as impassioned as the Oakland fans? They've only
absolutely
been there
no,
a year.
No.
There's no way.
Raider fan is me.
Malcolm's a Raider
and
fan, and his car has Raider stuff all over it. It's got an autograph of Kenny Stabler on the door. And I got it in my yard. It's in my yard. And it's covered in stickers. It's got Marshawn Lynch on it. It's got David Carr on it. I mean, it's stuff all over his car. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I drove it.
Yeah, Dave,
when he got to town, I got so many people looking at me like, it's not my car.
Anymore.
Oh, no. But, yeah, that car is hideous. Sorry,
no.
My car is hideous.
It is. It is. It's,
oh,
I mean,
my God.
Imagine, Todd, imagine driving that Raider 2008 Pontiac Grand Prix black one, the Raider stickers on, drive it through Kansas City, Missouri, and see if you're a survivor.
You know what?
Mm.
I really think you need to drive that thing down to Dallas is what I'm thinking.
Oh, wow.
You drive it. I'm done, man.
Drive through Dallas or Irving or Arlington with the Washington football team stuff on your car and see how you make it.
No, Reggie. They're
yes,
the
sir.
Washington football. They're the Washington football team. They're our favorite team now, okay, because we cheer for them. Hail to the Washington football team. Hail victory. Hut, hut, hut. Hail Washington football team to be who I want to be. Hey.
You know what? It just occurred to me that Velvet could use his ring attire to sit with the Hawks.
Remember the guy with the pig nose in the wig?
Oh, my God. Oh.
So what's the closest team to us geographically, the Panthers?
Yeah,
we could run him up.
Yeah.
Run him up to Charlotte. They're actually pretty nice fans up there. I went up there for one game.
They are not. My nephew's a Jets fan. He wore a Jets jersey with me to watch the Vikings and the Panthers. That was hilarious. Okay, but we lost. Right? It was a season that the Vikings went like 3-13, okay? So we're walking down. I said, we lost the game. And I'm talking normal just like this. And we're walking out of the stadium and you know, that long mile, you got to twist and turn and walk down those ramps. Anyway, this
right.
lady comes up to me, told me I was out of control and I needed to calm down. I said, I have no idea what you're talking to and what you're talking about. She's like, you've lost your mind. The Vikings suck, all this stuff. I said, hold up, lady. I said, I didn't say, I was talking to my nephew. I have no idea. So I said, you want out of control? I said, y'all, and I screamed this. I said, y'all act like y'all won the freaking Super Bowl. You won the freaking game. Why don't y'all calm down? All the Vikings fans cheered, and that lady was like, uh-oh, yeah, you stepped into that one. I was like, I'm not even talking to you. Who are you? Where'd you come from?
I know it's kind of off
like,
the subject
goes,
of wrestling.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
I was going to let you finish your story. I thought you were done.
Oh, no, just.
No, I went up there.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I went up there, and Atlanta had been doing well that season. I think it was 2015. But then we started getting on that losing streak. Well, they beat us 38-0. So
ooh.
I was like, well, let's get a head start on the traffic, we're getting out of here. And so with 4 minutes left, I'm in my Falcons gear, and I'm walking down, and everybody's like, oh, man, come back. Where are you going? We're just messing with you. Like, I'm like, yeah, right. You want me to sit there and watch the rest of this massacre? I said, I don't think it's going to get any better. You know?
No, it's not. Yeah.
38
right.
zip. I couldn't believe it. I was crying.
they do have some nice fans. That was the only bad experience I've ever had there. I love going. Only thing is now the new owner has moved. They've already broke ground in Rock Hill. Rock Hill, they'll have the new practice facility. They're looking at
right.
property in Fort Mill to put the brand new stadium if they decide to do that. Because the neighborhood,
oh, wow.
when Richardson built it, it wasn't in the best part of town to begin with, but it's gotten rougher,
right.
and the fans that come in from out of town have been robbed and jacked, and, you know, the cars have been rocked and all this stuff, so they're like, yeah, we might have to look into this. So,
ooh, yeah, no,
so,
they don't want that.
No, the NFL has stepped in, and actually, for this season, is adding extra security. They're paying for it, so they've added extra police officers for this season because of where it's at, you know, and it's gotten rougher.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to be careful when you just make sure you know where you're parking at and where you need to be, you know. So, that's unfortunate.
Done in my day with your NFL Minute. And now back to you, Chris Morrison.
Yeah, right. How about you? Don't go to the Panthers game, okay? Unless you're intoxicated. Anyway.
Wow.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. What time is it, John? What do we got? Where are we at? I don't even know. Oh, we got plenty of time.
About 20 minutes.
We are at 9:36, so we've got 24 minutes.
All right.
Yeah.
What else? What other rabbit hole can we fall down?
We've got 24 minutes, Bill. Good grief.
Actually, yeah.
I have a rabbit hole. It was all I could think of.
I can say that.
Okay, go
Tony
ahead.
Was very,
save it.
Yeah, I'm going to save you. Tony was very surprised because this was her first Hall of Fame that she was ever inducted to and getting the Lifetime Achievement Award. And she didn't know what to expect. She had no earthly idea.
Really?
And I sat there and said that, you know, and she sat there and started beating me upside the head and back the head to say, you could have told me. And I said, well, I kind of told you you got
and
the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Right. You know, and then she said, but you could have told me. And I said, well, I did tell you about the Hall of Fame. And she said, but you could have told me. And I thought, well, what was I supposed to tell you? And I said,
You did the right thing, Susan. You just kept kind of quiet and just let it happen. It was great.
Yeah, I just kept
was.
Quiet and let her hit me up back the head.
I know, but she did
no,
talk
he did.
To me after. Yeah, go ahead.
I told her, you know, that whenever we travel, she stayed awake with me to make sure I didn't go to sleep when I was driving because she didn't drive and she still don't drive. So whenever we make trips together,
wow.
she sits there and reads that list because we don't trust GPS. You know, it normally gets us there, but coming back from Texas from PWHF, it didn't get us back. We were doing 18 miles from Wichita Falls, and we'd go the other direction, 18 miles from Wichita Falls, and the other direction, 18 miles. 2 hours we did that. And I finally sat there and stopped, and I told the guy, he said, well, everybody uses the GPS. And I said, well, my GPS ain't working. We're getting 18 miles no matter what we want. We want to go to Shreveport, Louisiana. Can you tell me the road to get me there? Well, ma'am,
right.
And he said, we have an atlas. And I said, I'll buy the atlas. I don't care. And he said, well, it's out of date. I said, well, it can't be that far out of date, but I'll buy the atlas. Yeah. And he let me have the atlas.
It was
for
printed
half price
in 1936.
And, yeah, I got it there. Slung it across the seat to Tony, and I said, you were my co-pilot, you're now my co-pilot. Read the map and tell me what road I go to. And I said, as soon as we hit Shreveport, we're home free because we get Interstate 20 all the way home.
Right.
Said, okay.
Right.
We hit.
Ma'am, nobody's bought this. 20 years. Please have a free atlas with your purchase.
Yeah. Yeah. I got
free
one of my atlases that I got, and there's hardly any interstate on that atlas from back in the 70s.
Wow.
And I look, and it's like, you know, people
that's
say the atlas or the interstate, and I said, well, back in the 70s, Interstate 20 stopped in Camden, and if you're going west, it stopped in Thompson, Georgia. and then you went in two lanes, you know. No. And I thought, yeah. I said, from Camden to Washington, D.C., you had two-lane roads. And then you got the turnpike around D.C., and this, you had the toll roads, and you learned real fast how to throw the money in those baskets.
The little baskets.
And hope, like, and hope like hell it stayed in that basket or they'd come after you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Remember when it was, that's all it took was a few coins in the basket? Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. 25 cents, 15 cents, and now $1.25, $2, $5.
Well, my nephew and I got a ticket going in 2015 through the Easy Pass lane at 110 miles an hour, an Audi Quattro GT. Flip, and he got the picture of us laughing. Got the picture of our faces and laughing and the license plate in the back, and he got a nice hefty ticket. He was like,
"Bella got me a ticket."
He goes, "Huh? You didn't get one?"
I said, you got me a ticket. Oh, we were riding up to Hemingway. Do you remember? And we were sitting there talking, and I wasn't paying attention. That cop was sitting right behind that billboard.
Yeah, I forgot about
you. Remember
it.
That?
That's a memory, bro.
Jamestown.
James, that's right. See,
that's a speed trap and a half. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
It's where everybody
bad
gets caught going toward the beach. Yeah.
Right. I can't. Somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, you remember this kid you wrestled in so and so?" I'm like, "You know how many matches I've had?" Yeah. If you say so, I said, "Great." But if it wasn't memorable, I don't remember it. You know, if it was a one-time match, I'm not going to remember that. But yeah, he's Reggie has a great memory. We've been talking over, you know, a few weeks, and he's like, "You remember this?" And bringing it back, because I can barely remember what happened 2 days ago.
My memory's not that great, but I remember a few things.
Yeah, well,
I remember that trip to ECPW. So.
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell the finale to that story?
Sure.
So I get up. So I go up to Jamestown to pay the ticket, right? And the first thing the cop says, he goes, "We got everybody on radar." I said, "If your story don't match what we got on our radar, we're going to make you pay double this ticket."
Oh, wow.
So that ticket was $215, I believe, for going. What did they say? They said I was going 52 and a 40, and I think I was actually
40,
going faster than that. So I just
I would have said, "Yes, sir, I was doing 52 and a 40.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. Yes, sir.
Well,
didn't even go in
Sandy
front of the
Parker
judge. Just paid the fine and left.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sandy Parker and I was wrestling in Singapore, and we wrestled at a dog racetrack, and it wasn't a race dog. It was just a dog there. Well, it came walking out, and I ended up calling the dog over, patting and scratching his head. We was wrestling Donna Christentello and Tony Rose. Well, the dog never went over to them, and the dog didn't ever go to Sandy. So I said, every time Donna and Tony tried to do something to me, the dog jumped up there and stood between me and them. The dog wouldn't let them get me. Well, I'd tag out to Sandy. Well, Sandy could take all the heat she wanted because the dog didn't care. She'd tag out to me, and Donna and Tony would start to do something. Well, here come the dogs. And they said, "Well, what are we supposed to do?" And I said, "I guess let me beat y'all to death." Because I beat y'all up, I'm wearing good standing.
The dog's good.
The dog's happy that I beat y'all up. And he says, next time the dog comes around, he says, "I'm going to be petting the dog and giving
story.
Dog biscuits."
It is a great story.
It is a great story.
Freaking fabulous.
Me and that dog just walked back to the dressing room. And I said, "Hope he's around next time. I don't have to take no
run." Right? Exactly. Hey, wait a minute. That's not fair.
Yeah, it is.
No.
I take my
sounds
fair
like
share
me
above.
And you again. Oh, yeah,
I take my fair
I
share.
I have too. You do. You have. No, you have. Now, I agree with that. You have. I watched a lot of your matches. And it's like, wow. You're, I mean, just amazing some of the stuff that you did with some of the smaller ladies and all that. It was just amazing to watch. It was really good. It's your Stampede matches out in Texas were great. I mean, you came out, they were going nuts for you, and it was on. You know, as soon as the bell rang, it was like, let's go. We ain't wasting any time.
Yep.
So, and usually that's how your matches started. It was no, you know, let's ease into this. It was always, as soon as the bell rang, you either locking up or y'all are going. It was just on.
Yep.
I've actually got a question about that, if y'all don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
So we know how the women's women are treated today a lot better, the women's revolution and all that. But back in that time, Susan, did they limit you guys? Did you have to start fast because you didn't have as much time as the men, or how did that work?
They didn't tell us how to start or how to finish. They just sit there and said, y'all got 10 minutes to do what you can. Or you got 12 minutes to do what you can. And
I was curious about
to
that.
To be able to get what we can in and not take away from the men, we had to do what we could to make promoters want us to come back because we could do more. And then, of course, they'd sit there and say, well, do you know more than what you did last night? And, you know, we'd give them a different match from the night before, you know, so that they would understand that we had an arsenal of matches under our belts that we could give if they gave us a little longer to go. And I said, nowadays they have a tag team and it's a one fall. And I said, yeah, when we were back in the 60s and 70s, we had a tag team. We had two out of three, you know.
Right.
So we had to figure out two out of three what was going to go wrong. And then remember, if we came back there the next week, what we did in that two out of three, because when we had our two out of three, we knew what we had already done.
Wow.
Because it's surprising what the fans would sit there and say the repeat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like these kids, like you said at the Hall of Fame, we were talking and discussing, these kids today, they got to get all these moves in, they got to have this move set and all that. So you wasted all that on TV. What are you going to do the next time on TV? You've already shown everything you can do. What are you going to do different?
Yeah.
And that's what they don't get today.
Yeah.
Why do we got to do, you know, they want to know what you, the intangibles. Can you lead a match?
Yeah.
Can you make somebody look good who's god-awful?
Yeah.
Can you work with a guy who's way above your talent level and keep up? I mean, those are the things.
Yeah.
They don't care how many times you can come off the top rope and do whatever and how many super kicks you can do. I mean, they want to see how you can control a match, lead a match, and deal with what's going on at any point in time. A lot of them, you know, if they say, if there's limited time and they say, hey, you got to cut to the chase, they're like, what? They freak out. It's like, cut to chase, we're done. It's time to take it home. It's over. You know, they come to the back and they get all mad. They get all mad. I'm like, what are you mad for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your time was up.
Yeah.
You know, we're not extending time just because you got to do a couple more whatever.
Well, can I expand on that a little bit?
Good.
A little bit? They don't seem to understand placement on the card either. In other words, you know, not every match can be half an hour.
No.
You know, your two most important matches are your opener and your main event.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So everything in between
has to
complement. But I'm trying to give an example. Like if you're in match three and everybody's doing a dive in match three. Well, if I'm in match four, I'm going to be like, guys, you know, what did you leave for us to do out there? Because now that crowd's seen just about everything, you know.
Yeah.
They don't understand card placement and how to pace themselves in order to make the main event look good. You know, it's more about everybody trying to outshine everybody these days rather than, you know, everybody trying to work together to make a good show. That's what I hate about.
Right.
Well, I try to tell my guys to watch the match in front of them and not do anything that they saw in the first match, you know, and then the if any of my guys are in the third match, I say, well, watch the second match and don't do anything just in the second match.
I watch guys not even watch the other matches. That's what that's
oh, I do
watch
too.
Them.
I do too. It go out there and it's peek and repeat. Oh, they do the same
right.
thing
yeah.
because they didn't watch.
Well, you know, it's the me generation. Hey, look
yeah.
at me. I'm a superstar. Give me money. I don't have to set the ring up and tear it down. I'm too
yeah.
good for that. So you don't pay
yeah.
your dues. And then when they realize they're not getting booked like they want
mm-hmm.
to, and they go, what's going on? How come you're not booking me? Because you're disrespectful, and you're not learning anything, and you're not listening. You know, and they don't
mm-hmm.
get that. And they expand on Reggie's thing about the opening match and the main event. You have the opening match is the tone setter.
Yeah.
For the day, for the night, and
oh, yeah.
those next three matches, if you're doing like me, a five match card, those next three matches are building to the climax of the main event.
Oh yeah.
So you have to expand
right.
off of everything that's being done, and that's what people really don't get. And you're right. You know, and then you got cards that have 8, 9 matches. That's ridiculous. First of all,
mm-hmm.
how it's a 3.5 hour program at best.
Yeah,
it could be longer.
Yeah.
Why would you want to keep
the
somebody
get
there that
after
long?
2 hours?
Exactly right. My my shows have normally run a minute. An hour and 45 minutes to right at 5 minutes. Till like 1:50, an hour and 55 minutes has been the longest I've run the show.
Yeah.
It's like, let's get them done. Let's get it done. Let's
yeah.
do our job. You're here. You know what you're doing. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and that's what I do. I'm not doing 6 unless something needs to be done. I went straight old school, and nobody's complained.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, nobody
nope.
has ever complained.
Nope.
Or you could go up the road.
It gives the guys time in the ring to be able to know what they need to do. You're not doing a 5-minute match. You're not doing a 3-minute match. You're not doing a 2-minute match. You know, the guys get in there and they
12,
spend some time.
I gave 12 to 20 in certain matches. You know,
yeah.
and it's normally all of them are 12 minutes unless I say stretch it out. I'll get a word to the referee, stretch it out. Other
mm-hmm.
than that, it's all about the same kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to keep the flow.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Usually when you have too many matches, there's always some dead time. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask a question there.
Okay.
Because I think one of the biggest things that's missing is the art of storytelling in the match.
Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
How much of that, the limited time and stuff, and yes, I'm well aware, authors have some outstanding short stories, so don't get me wrong here, I'm tracking. But how much of that impacts their ability to do that? Because, we brought up Ricky the Dragon's Steamboat earlier. Man,
right,
dude, what an artist. When it comes to storytelling. So just saying. So
oh, yeah.
what's y'all input on that? And I hate to say it, we're down to less than 7 minutes and I come up with this question. Sorry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
hey, hang on. Go ahead.
Go ahead, can I tell Susan what it was like for me as a wrestling fan real quick as the years went by as a kid in the 70s? In the 70s, I started watching Pat Patterson, Rocky Johnson, the Great Mephisto, Crazy Luke Graham, you know. But once in a while, Hank Renner would have you ladies on. Like, I hear your name, Donna Cristinello, on the WWF Coliseum video,
mm-hmm.
most unusual matches, a 10-man or 10-ladies tag team match, rather. You know, and then I saw Tony Rose yesterday, and I saw you, you know, both on that big poster. And I,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was thinking back to, like, you know, years ago, and I heard what you said earlier, or somebody said, I think it was Reggie said it, that ladies don't get, you know, they didn't get promoted as much back then, you know, you only had to wrestle, you know, 10 minutes at first, you know, to give what you had. But you, Hank Renner didn't announce, he didn't announce you for the Cow Palace or the Oakland mm-hmm. Coliseum Arena or the San Jose Civic Center, mm-hmm. someplace like that, or Richmond Auditorium. But he would have you once in a while, the ladies on there, Donna Cristinello, you, Tony Rose. I remember her name now from the 70s. But mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he would only have you on there every once in a while, and it was kind of like watching the midgets every once in a while. It was a real dream for a wrestling fan to see ladies wrestling. You know, because like later there was Wendy Richter and, you know.
When the promoters knew the crowds were going to go down, they brought the midgets or the girls in because they knew they didn't get to see the midgets or the girls very often, so they would go to the matches. We were a crowd drawer.
There you go.
You know, they didn't expect us to be able to wrestle. They didn't expect us to go very long. They just knew that we were going to draw a crowd because they weren't going to have us but once a year. And then when they saw that we could tell stories and do things, that we started getting a bigger push.
Absolutely. Guys, Todd, we'll have to come back, circle. Well, we'll do like the president. We'll circle back to that question next week. You're dragging. You can bring it back. Reggie, please push what you got going on, please.
The Willis Show on YouTube. Anybody can go there and see what we're doing. We actually interviewed a gentleman today out of the wrestling world, but he runs the Heavy Metal Collective and also Charleston Strong rock shows, rock benefit shows. And so we'll have an interesting interview with him coming up. And then if all else doesn't fail, we'll have Jimmy Rave on Wednesday night.
Nice. Good deal. Dr. John, I know you got something to plug.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow night on ScaryCast, we've got Keith Podesti, who is a paranormal experiencer. He's got some incredible stories. In fact, I'm going to be talking with him tonight after this show to get him ready for our show. And all I've got to say is yesterday was about a religious experience. I mean, I am standing there with two of my favorite people in the world, and it's not you, Amazing Velvet. I'm tired of you.
I love you too,
John. Tony Rose, and it is the great Susan Green, and it was absolutely
and Reginald Vandross.
Listen, Reginald, you be quiet. I'll come by and get you later. But I'll tell you what, it's the most fun I have ever had, and that's the truth. I would rather hang out with Tony Rose and Susan Green than anybody, to be honest with you. But it was great, and thank you,
forget. Yes.
What?
Don't forget,
careful,
Crazy. You have to go to Greenville and take Crazy Train to lunch now. Don't forget that.
Oh, absolutely. Crazy Train was had an unbelievable speech. But anyway, yeah. thanks to everybody, and thanks to Amazing Velvet for being a wonderful partner in this venture, and he did so much work. And we love the Amazing Velvet. And thank you for everything
that
you have done,
again.
and that is absolutely the truth. Go talk to somebody else.
Well, we only got a minute, less than a minute. So Reggie, I want to appreciate you and thank you for being there and doing.
Hey, one
and
last thing,
Leilani
Kai and Judy Martin next year, for sure.
Okay,
that's my nominee.
All right, we will cross that bridge when we get to it. I want to thank you for being there, and hope
Peggy Lee Weathers and Bambi. Did they wrestle?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Bambi's still
wrestling, correct?
She's agreed to come back if we tag team together. So I sit there and said, I'll make it happen.
Let's do it. I'll set it up. That's awesome.
Yeah,
Dr. John, take us home, brother. Dr. John disappeared.
Dr. John.
Hello.
John is still here. And
he's reading comics.
Take us home. Take us home, boy.
That's right. Take us home.
That's
thanks a lot. We'll
you
see
didn't
you.
Feed to the hot tag. What's wrong with you?
We'll be back with Pro Wrestling Interview next week. Same time, same bat time, same bat channel.
Oh, my
we
God.
Everyone.
Thanks.